All right, so let's take a look at the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara in Testament Base. So we started off, we said that the Gemara points out, the Mishnah points out, excuse me, that Ad shelo nivcheru shalosh sheba'aretz Eretz Yisrael lo hayu shalosh sheba'ivra yardin koltos. So the halacha is, and we learn from Sukkim, that until the three cities in Eretz Yisrael were selected, the three cities in Chutz La'aretz that had already been selected did not take effect. The status of your miklat wasn't chal, and they were not able to be kolate erotzeach and protect them from the Goel Adam at that time. So the question is, why? What is the purpose of not having the three cities in Chutz La'aretz be kolate, even though they were already established? Right, who established the three cities in Moshe Rabbeinu? Established those three cities. Who established the next three cities? Yeshua. So, okay, why can't the cities in Moshe Rabbeinu set up right away? They should work. And why can't Yeshua's work when they get set up? What's the big deal? Any ideas? What does the Gemara say? No, so that's definitely true. In other words, but why did Hashem have to do it that way? Why did Hashem have to set it up as such that they had to work as a unit? Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu's Ari Miklat work right away and then Yeshua's Ari Miklat work afterwards?
Because they want there to be an advantage for people who live.
Well, the truth is, there weren't really that many people living there, and there were women and children mostly, and a lot of cattle, as the Pasuk the Pasuk alludes to, that there was a lot of wealth on the other side of the Yarden, but the men were all fighting the war. So the Meshech Chochma gives two interesting reasons why the three Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz were not kolate until the ones in Eretz Yisrael were kolate. So the first thing is that there's a very famous Mishnah in Meseches Gittin on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, where the Mishnah talks about if you sell an Eved to a Goy or you sell an Eved to live in Eretz Yisrael, to a Jew who's living in Chutz La'aretz, excuse me. You sell an Eved to a Goy, or you sell it to a Jew, but the Jew is living in Chutz La'aretz. So the halach is, the Chachamim put a knas on you, and the Eved is Yotzi L'cheris. Now obviously, when you sold him to the Goy, so, you know, he's on his own. He's not going to be, the Beis Din of Yisrael is not going to force him to be Yotzi L'cheris. But, Rashi points out, if he runs away, then the Jewish Beis Din is not responsible to go get him. They're going to basically just let him, you know, hide under the radar and as a knas for selling the goy to a non-Jew. Why is there a knas in selling a goy to a non-Jew? Selling an eved to a non-Jew, right? Why is there a knas for that? Because an eved is mostly Jewish, right? An eved's mostly Jewish. No, we're talking about Eved Kanani here. We're not talking about Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a regular Jew. The only difference between Eved Ivri and you and me is that Eved Ivri is mutter to a Shivcha Kananis if the master gives over a Shivcha Kananis. That's last week's parsha also. Yesterday's parsha, whatever.
Why should the buyer be affected?
What?
Why is the buyer affected?
The buyer is affected as well. The question is, okay, the Gemara works out the details. Who has to pay up? Who has to, you know, be a part of that? But I'm saying the Lamaisa, the Chacham put a Knas on you and said that the Eved is Yotzi L'Cheiris if you sell him from a Jew to a Goy. So the simple reason is that an Eved Kanani is mostly Jewish. He's Chayiv in all the mitzvos except for the mitzvos Aseh Shezman Grama. And therefore, if you sell him to a non-Jew, you're going to be mafkia his opportunity to be Mekayim mitzvos. And as a Knas for taking away his opportunity to do all those mitzvos, they said he's Yotzi L'Cheiris. So now you can understand a little bit why Dafka, the Eved is Yotzi L'Cheiris if you sell him to Chutz La'aretz as well. What's the reason? Right, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, he has opportunities to perform many more mitzvos. As the Medrash says, right, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly? Because there were certain mitzvos that you can only be Mekayim in Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael and be Mekayim the Mitzvah Satluyus Ba'aretz. So too, this Eved has an opportunity, Mekayim the Mitzvah Satluyus Ba'aretz, and if you sell him to a Jew in Chutz La'aretz, he no longer has that chance. And therefore, they put a knas on him that the Eved is Yotzi L'Cheiris. So what's the pshat in our Gemara now? Meshech Chochma says, Pashut. Right? If you have three Ari Miklat, and they're all in Chutz La'aretz. So now, basically, you're telling the guy part of your penalty for committing an aver b'shogeg is that you're not allowed to do any mitzvah tlius ba'aretz. You don't have the opportunity to be mekayim these important mitzvos. And we're not willing to do that. We're not ready to take away all his chances to do mitzvah tlius ba'aretz. So therefore, if he's already in Chutz La'aretz because he chose to be there as part of Reuven Gad Chatzi Sheva Menashe situation, okay, so you were in Chutz La'aretz before, you're in Chutz La'aretz now, big deal. Right? But if you are in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to tell the guy you have a chiyuv to run to Chutz La'aretz. And therefore we said that the three Arei Miklat that were in Chutz La'aretz didn't start taking effect until after the three Arei Miklat in Eretz Yisrael, to give the Rotzeach a fair opportunity to remain in Eretz Yisrael and not to have to take away his opportunity to stay in Eretz Yisrael and be mekayim those mitzvos.
So you believe it's great to do it, but then you're like people who are already in the Chutz La'aretz, because then they're just jumping on the bandwagon, and therefore they don't have to go to Golis either.
Nobody had to go to Golis until the Arei Miklat took effect.
Right, there's no reason for them not to have to go to Golis. They're just jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, they got the low plug d'oraisa there. They got part of that low plug according to that teretz. The second teretz that the Meshech Chochma has is that what's the main hope for a Rotzeach who's sitting in an Arei Miklat? What's he waiting for? He's waiting for the Misa of the Kohen Gadol, right? So therefore, there has to at least be an opportunity that the Kohen Gadol might die for the Rotzeach to have some hope that he's ever going to get out of there. The problem is, earlier on in Chumash, it had been promised to Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, that he was going to survive the war with the seven nations, and he was also going to survive the Chalukas Ha'aretz. Therefore, somebody who got sent into Golis when Moshe Rabbeinu was separating the Arei Miklat and Chutz La'aretz, so he literally had no hope. But he knew for a fact that there was nothing to look forward to. Like there was a Havtacha from Hashem that Elazar Kohen Gadol was going to survive all that time. Now again, he didn't know exactly how long the Chalukah was going to take, so he still had, you know, it was still undefined, but at the end of the day, it was considered, as the Meshech Chochma says, it was considered to be a little bit of cruel and unusual punishment that a person would have to run to an Arei Miklat having no immediate hope that he might ever get out on any given day. Right, so you know, Chavetz Chaim would have been a good candidate for a Kohen Gadol. Right, I assume if Mashiach would have come in his time, Chavetz Chaim would have been a good candidate for a Kohen Gadol. But the problem is, you know, the whole ma'aseh with the Chavetz Chaim, that he said that he had blackmailed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into giving him a long life. You ever heard that ma'aseh? He said Chavetz Chaim died a very old man, obviously, and he said that the, what? Yeah, I'm saying, but he was a very old man at the time. So he... I don't know. That's none of my business. Anyway, so... But but he definitely was very old when he died, and he said the reason he lived to such a long life is that he had a blackmail against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have given him a long life, then it would have undone his whole life's work. His whole life's work. He wrote a sefer called Chafetz Chaim. It says, if you want to have a long life, then don't speak Lashon Hara. And he dedicated his whole life to perpetuating this message, among many others. But so he said that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to give him a long life, because otherwise it would have been a huge Chilul Hashem if he would have died as a young man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice. So I assume, you know, based on this Meshech Chochma, and taking into account that, you know, obviously we don't pasken any halachas based on a Maisa, that the Chavetz Chaim would actually not have been as good of a candidate as you think to be the Kohen Gadol, because let's say he would have been elected Kohen Gadol at the age of 40, so any Rotzeach that would have gone to Golis at that point had no hope. So that's, I guess, the, you want to say a nafkamina in drush, nafkamina between the first answer and the second answer of the Meshech Chochma is, let's say, would they ever make the Chafetz Chaim into the Kohen Gadol, somebody who has a haftacha for Arichas Yamim? So.
Yeah, I think it's going down. Probably get bored of waiting outside the city sometime, and probably go
All right, maybe. Depends how bitter of a person you are. Okay, Lamaisa, that's the two answers of the Meshech Chachma. Okay, so now the Gemara, continue on in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a kasha here. How come we needed three on the Aver HaYarden? Right, where exactly is that kasha asked? Right, so it's the second to bottom line on Tesamid Beis. You see it? So he says, Be'Aver HaYarden Tlas, Be'Eretz Yisrael Tlas. Right, so the Gemara says there's three on Aver HaYarden and three in Eretz Yisrael. So you read it Bitmiya, Rashi says, right? Be'Aver HaYarden Tlas, Be'Eretz Yisrael Tlas? What? Why do we have six Ari Miklat in total? Three on one side and three on the other. Right, Rashi says, Benachlas Shnei Shvatim Sholosh Kmo Benachlas Asara Shvatim. Why do you have this uneven chaluka? You have that there are 10 tribes that only get three Ari Miklat, and then you have two and a half tribes that get another three Ari Miklat? That's, you know, the math is very poor. So Abaye answers, I'm Abaye, but Gilad Shchiche Rotzchim. There were many, many murderers in Gilad. And therefore, they needed the extra Ari Miklat. So we'll have to get into what that means in a second. But just in terms of the kasha, I don't know if you guys got a chance to get up to it, the correct Mari Malkum in the Ramban al-Torah is Sefer Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Yidalid. Right? So if you look in the Ramban al-Torah, he says, I don't understand the Gemara's kasha. They had other opportunities to run to Gullus, which were what? Right, there were 42 Arei Alevim, not counting the Arei Miklat. There were a total of 42 cities. Did he give you the numbers over there? How many of those cities were in Chutz Laretz, and how many of those cities? There were six in Chutz Laretz, and that means there were 36 in Eretz Yisrael proper. So there was a highly disproportionate number, excuse me, not disproportionate, there was a highly proportionate number of Arei Miklat in Eretz Yisrael. Right, if you do the math, there's three plus Arei Miklat for every Shevet. So why does the Gemara even have that kasha? According to the way Rashi wants to learn, he doesn't think it's a very good kasha at all. Every Shevet had the right number of Ari Miklat that they needed. So there's two Achronish Sfarim answer this kasha. I didn't see this inside. I saw these quoted in other Raid Sfarim. So this, the Sefer Panim Yafos answers that the difference is that in the Ari Miklat, we saw later in the Gemara, that if you lived in the Ari Halavim, you had to pay Dmei Schirus to the Levim. You had to pay rent. But the Arei Miklat, you didn't have a Chiyuv to pay rent. And therefore, there's a nafkamina between them. So according to the Panim Yafos, the Gemara's Kasha was a much more local Kasha. There is a nafkamina that exists between Arei Miklat and Arei Levim. And therefore, why should we have a disproportionate amount of Arei Miklat where the guys don't have to pay rent? Well, we're trying to save... You know, it's actually thematically very interesting that what was the whole reason Reuven got Chatzis Shev Menashe stayed on the Aver HaYarden? Because of money, right? Because of the Parnassa aspect. They said, we have a lot of Mikneh, right? They didn't even think too much about the children. We spoke about this back in the day, right? So they stayed there for Parnassa. So according to Panim Yafos, the Gemara's Kasha is, we're so concerned with the three Shvatim's Parnassa again? That they don't have, we dafka put three Ari Miklat in Chutz Laretz so they don't have to pay rent to the Levim when they go there. And in Eretz Yisrael, the 10 Shvatim only got three Ari Miklat where they don't have to pay rent, but all the other Ari Levim, they do have to pay rent. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. The nafkamina between the Ari Miklat and Chutz Laretz was that there were three opportunities to live free. And in Eretz Yisrael, there were only three opportunities to live free. So why the disproportionate number of places where you could live there for free? That was the Panim Yafos' way of understanding the Gemara's Kasha, according to Rashi. And along these lines, another Sefer, Achronish Sefer, Siach Yitzchok, again, I didn't see it inside, but he says that the difference was perhaps not only based on the rent, but perhaps we noted in the Gemara that when you would kill someone, what was the first thing you would do? Whether you killed him b'shogeg or you killed him b'mezid, what would you do? You go to Enir Miklat. Then they would take you out, you would stand trial, and would be decided whether or not you were chayef to stay in the Eir Miklat, or you're going to be chayef misa, or you're pater legamre. That was what was going to be decided at your court case. But the only time you ran to Ari Levim was after you were already found guilt chayiv galus, after you already found guilty of killing somebody b'shogig, right? But when you first killed somebody, you had to then go to an ir miklat only. You couldn't go to one of the Ari Levim. So he says, that was the big nafkamina, and that's why the Gemara asked, how could there be so many Ari Levim? How could there be so many Ari Levim in, how could there be so many Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz and not so many in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that proportionally there was a good number of Ari Levim for the rest of the Shvatim, because you couldn't run there after, you couldn't run there before you stood trial. So based on that, we understand the Gemara's teretz very well. If you learn like the Siach Yitzchak, what was the Gemara's teretz? Amar Abaye beGilad Shchiche Rotzchim. Right. So he says that it was very common to find murders happening in Gilad. So now we understand the teretz very well. What's the teretz? You need more Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz because every single rotzeach goes to an ir miklat, right? First you go to your miklat, then they're going to pull you out and have you stand trial. So even if in Gilad everybody was rotzeach b'mezid, they still had to be taken to an ir miklat for protection before they stood trial. And thus you needed extra ir miklat in Chutz La'aretz because of the commonality, and that's not the right word, but the commonness of murders in Gilad. They had to first run to an ir miklat before they could decide what was going to be dealt, what was going to be done. However, Tosfos doesn't seem so that's the ikar way to learn. Tosfos doesn't seem convinced that that's the correct mahalach. If you look at the bottom of Testament base, Tosfos Tiramasla beGilad Shchiche Rotzchim. You guys take a look at that Tosfos for a second. Pirish ulahochi hutzrachnu laari miklat. That's why we needed the ari miklat. Right? Where's the Bach there? Bottom left on mine. Lori Miklat Harbe, Lefish Shekisha Horgim, Mazid below Adim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezamnon Lepundak Echod, Kidamrin Lekama. What on earth is Tosas talking about? Yeah? Right. Meaning, well, first let's take a step back. What kasha is Tosfos asking? What kasha is Tosfos asking? His answer, yeah. Right. Meaning, we need Ari Miklat. Why? Because there's so many rotzchim. What do you mean? There's so many accidents? No, there's no accidents. There's murderers. Murderers don't go to your Miklat. So we said, according to the Siach Yitzchak, yes, they do. Well, everyone holds yes, they do, but... But he said, the Siach Yitzchak wanted to say that only the three Ari Miklat are collate those types of murderers. So there we understand. But Tosfos doesn't seem sold on that teretz. Tosfos is saying, what do we need extra Ari Miklat just so people who murder b'mezid could go there? Right? So Tosfos gives a very interesting teretz. We saw the Gemara later on. Right? This is Gemara on Yudim and Beis. You guys get there yet? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu arranges the accidents as such. He brings in a guy to kill b'shogeg, the one who was really chayav misa for killing b'mezid, right? So Mamela, what ends up happening? Since there's so many murderers in Gilad, there end up being so many, right, accidents, because they all deserve to be accidentally killed. So Mamela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings in more people to kill them by accident, and then those guys need to go to Golis. It's not, when it says b'Gilad Shchiche Rotzchim, the Golis is not for the Rotzchim. It's for the guys who are going to carry out their sentence, b'shogeg. No, the cycle ends with the killers, b'shogeg.
Yeah, but then there's going to be a new Gol Adam.
No, we're not worried about the Gol Adam in Gilad. We're worried about the guys killing b'mezid. There were a lot of murderers in Gilad. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has to take care of business over there. How does he take care of business? He sends in somebody who's going to accidentally kill that murderer, and that person's going to need a place to go. So that's why there were so many. That's why there were so many Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz, because there were so many murders b'shogig in order to punish the murderers b'mezid. So Mamela Abaye is answering b'gilad shchiche rotzchim, not that those were the guys who needed the Ari Miklat, but a result of the fact that it was shchiche rotzchim, we're going to need extra Ari Miklat to house the individuals who punish those murderers. If you look in the back of the Gemara for a second. If you look in the back of the Gemara for a second, just turn to the Maram on the bottom there. The Maram Lublin I don't know, everybody has a different edition of the Gemara, but in mine, it's on page Gimel in the pages of the Marsha. I don't know what, you know, what edition everybody has, but if you have an older school edition, it's page Gimel in the pages of the Marsha on the bottom left-hand side there. Anybody see it? It's the bottom... it says Divra Maschil Begilat Shchichi Rotzchem Pirish Elahachi Hutzruchu V'chulei. It says Bilti Safek Shehuk Shalatosos My Nafkamina Beha Divegilat Shchichi Rotzchem Mishum Hachi Lo Hutzruchu La'ari Miklat Yoser De Rotzchem De Shchichi Haina Bemezid V'Hagolim Eina Kiyim Shogigim. Right, so he's asking Arkash. He's saying, who cares that there were a lot of murderers there? Only Shogigim go to Galus. So why do we need Ari Miklat for them? Vimkain lo mishani atosus midi b'may de kasvu da kodesh baruch. So he says, Vimkain lo mishani atosus midi b'may de kasvu da kodesh baruch hu mizam amazminam lepundak. Hamikomakam ashogigim enam shchichim begilad. Vehech amazminam lepundak. Vitztarchu avuzeh lo ori miklat rabim. Venir ali, visha ahorgim b'mezid below edim rabim shchichim begilad. I'm sorry, below edim rabim shchichim begilad. Da kodesh baruch hu mizamin or Mazmin, Kol Ashogim Mishar Makomos Lekan, Kol Shogi Gumezid Lepundak Echad, Lekach HaYitzrichim Lari Miklat Rabin. So he's basically saying what we said, but he's adding on one important Nakuda, right? So he would say that not only were the people who were showing up, not only the people who were showing up to the Ari Miklat, people who were carrying out the sentence of those who were Chayiv Galus, of those who were Chayiv Misa, those were people who had killed B'makam Acher, B'shogeg, and really needed to go to Galus. Kadosh Baruch Hu was sending them to Gilad to kill the Rotzkim B'mezid, and then they would be sent to Galus right away. So that was the idea, right? Because who's the guy who ends up killing B'shogeg? A guy who really needs to go to Galus, but nobody knows. So that's what was happening. People who really needed to go to Galus and killed somebody in Eretz Yisrael would find their way on business or some other reason going to Gilad, and they would have to get into such a situation where they would kill somebody b'shogeg, and thus they would end up going to Galus and Gilad because they were being brought from all over Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's how the Maram wants to explain Tosus's answer. However, if you look in the margin there, in the Masoras HaShas, some of you probably have it in the outside margin, on Tosfos. Some of you probably have it in the outside margin, some of you probably have it in like the corner somewhere with a letter next to it. He quotes the Ramban al HaTorah, quotes the Ramban al HaTorah, B'zeh HaLashon, V'yaf al pi she'ein hamiklat ela b'shogigin, hayu shovchim damim b'mirma, umarin atzman k'shogigim, Uhutzrach laharbos lahem are miklot liklodes kulon shalonode mi hamezid. Right, so the Ramban, I don't know why Dafka quotes from Ramban al HaTorah, it's also in the Chedushi Ramban on the Masechta. So the Ramban, both al HaTorah and on the Masechta, says that yes, there were a lot of murderers in Gilad, but as the old saying goes, practice makes perfect. They were very good at killing people. And therefore, they knew how to get away with it. They knew how to look like they were only killing people b'shogig, even though they were really killing people b'mezid. And thus, we needed a lot of Ari Miklat to house all of these killers b'shogig. What? Why they try to look like a shogig? Because they knew they weren't going to get away with it completely. They're going to be whatever. They're going to be an investigation, and they're going to find out who killed this guy, and they're going to find out that it was you. So if you come up with a preempted defense that it was only b'shogeg, so okay, so you're willing to commit the murder and move to an ir miklat in case you get caught. You know, it doesn't mean they came right out of the woodwork saying we killed somebody b'shogeg, but it meant that they would always do it in such a way that was hidden and there were no edim. And then if they would ever get caught, they would say they did it b'shogeg. So they were only chayiv galus, and nobody could tell them that they weren't chayiv galus. They didn't have any witnesses. So therefore, they would only have to go to Galus, and we needed a lot of Ari Mikla to house these expert killers who knew how to make it look like they were only doing it b'shogi. That's the way the Ramban wants to learn. The Ritva just says slightly differently. Ritva just says that they would put them all in the Ari Miklat, and while they were in the Ari Miklat, they would do further investigation and try to figure out who really did it b'mezin and who did it b'shogi. But it wasn't that everybody sitting in the Ari Miklat really killed somebody b'mezin. They would leave them there for an indefinite time period, and then while they were there, they would investigate the murder further. There's another teretz for this kasha from the Netziv. The Netziv, in his Perish on the Medrash, Netziv was a very prolific author, and he wrote something called Emek HaNetziv on the Medrash. I didn't see this inside either. I saw this quoted in some of the rates for him. But what? What is a raid safer? I don't know. Pretty much everything I have by my makom. They just quote like Mara Makomos and stuff like that. So I didn't see. I don't have access to a copy of the Emek HaNetziv. So I just saw it quoted. But he writes that the right the goal hadam of people who killed b'shogeg in Gilad were much less patient and much less forgiving than the goal hadam in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Abaye says b'Gilad nefishi rotzkim, right? We had shchichi rotzkim. Excuse me. They were very common. It was very common that people would murder one another. Thus, there was much more grounds for the Gol Adam to say he definitely did it b'mezid, right? Well, all of a sudden, you're in the murder capital of the world, and I'm supposed to believe that my relative was the first guy who ever got killed b'shogig there? It says, ridiculous, I'm going to come kill you anyway. So therefore, they had to have local Ari Miklat for these guys to get to in a hurry. In a case in Eretz Yisrael where it wasn't so common that there was murder going on, so, okay, so the guy wasn't so convinced that the Ritzicha happened to Mezid. It wasn't wasn't such a dangerous situation for the Rotzeach, and therefore the Gol Adam had a little more patience until he figured out what really happened. But if you're in a situation where, you know, it's a very common situation, for murders to take place, you find yourself being more accusatory, and you find yourself saying that the guy definitely did it b'mezid, didn't do it b'shogeg, and thus, I'm going to come and kill him myself. So he needed a place to get to in a hurry. And thus, they had more Ari Miklat near Gilad and in Chutz La'aretz than they did in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because the Gol Adam wouldn't be on his A-game, you know, running after you right away if he killed somebody in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's that little piece of Gemara there. Then the Gemara continues on Yudam and Aleph. They talk about the distance between the various Arei Miklat, and they noted that two of the Arei Miklat are much closer together than all the other ones. Right? So it says, Maishna mehagi so mehagi so demarachke, Maishna mitzioe demekarve. How come the ones in the middle of Eretz Yisrael were so close to one another? So Amar Abaye, b'shchem nami shchiche rotzchem. Right? So he says, in Shchem, there were also a lot of rotzchim. So what does that mean exactly? In Gilad there were a lot of rotzchim, in Shchem there were a lot of rotzchim. So the Ritva just points out over here that it's not just talking about Shchem, first of all, it's talking about Shchem and all of the surrounding areas, right? Because Shchem itself was pretty close to Chevron, pretty close to Kadesh, so you didn't need a dafka near Miklat next to Shchem. So he says that, 1 second... And he says also, just keep in mind that when it says b'shchem nefishi b'shchem shchiche rotzchem, you shouldn't think that that was the majority of people in the city. I just found that an interesting comment by the Ritva. He says you shouldn't have a havamina that the majority of the people in the city were murderers, because there's a rule that if the majority of the people, what? Well, no, that's for that's for Ovdei Avodah Zarah. For murderers, you don't make an ir nidachas, but you still have. You still have a rule that you're not allowed to make an ir miklat of a city that the majority of them are rotzchim. So he says, even when you say it's shchiche rotzchim, you can't say that it's rove of the city were rotzchim. Yeah, you have to say that. Therefore, no, he doesn't say it by Gilad. No, because again, let me read you the Ritva inside. Let me tell you the flow of the Ritva for a second. if you have one, Steve Ramaschel, Begilad Shchichei Rotzchem, followed by Bishchem Shchichei Rotzchem. It's back to back. So I'm reading from the second one. Bishchem Shchichei Rotzchem, Pirish Bishchem V'svivo Seah. Umipnei Asvivos De Shchichei Bam Nami Rotzchem, Hutzrich Lekarev Lehem Ari Miklat Mikan Umikan, Kidei Shiyehei Rotzeach Magia Mehera Le'echad Mehem. De'im Yishum Shchem Gufa, Ha'inhu Merachki Lechevron Lekadesh Ki Idach De Betzafon V'darah. So he says already, you know, the surroundings were secondary to the main cities. V'heim kemosam, and therefore amrina b'shchem. Since it's a, the suburbs are tafel, so we just call it b'shchem. Umiyu afal gav d'shchichei b'shchem rotzchem lo hava ruba. Saying we're not going to make a city, an area that's rov rotzchim, we're not making Ari Miklat for those cities. So you have to say it was the same thing for Gilad as well, because otherwise they would not have serviced Gilad any more than they would have serviced Shechem. Okay. A couple of other comments on this. So first of all, the Marsha, I don't think he asks the Kasha, he just makes the comment. The Marsha in the Chiddush HaGadus here says, I don't understand. He said, by Gilad, we said there's a lot of Rotzchim in Gilad, so we gave them an unbelievably disproportionate number of Ari Miklat, but by Shechem, we just made it a little bit closer, right? So why is that fair? So the Ritva says, obviously the comparison between Shechem and Gilad is not the same. There were many more Rotzchim in Gilad than there were in Shechem. Otherwise, they would have had to be Marbe Ari Miklat over there also. Here, in Gilad, they needed actual Ari Miklat to be, you know, disproportionately high. Masha'en Kain in Shechem, they just needed them to be somewhat local. And therefore, they had the same number of Ari Miklat that everyone else in Israel had. They just needed to be a little bit closer. So it wasn't that Abaye was saying there's a rule. The two biggest murder capitals in Eretz Yisrael area were Gilad and Shechem. That doesn't work out that way. Shechem had far fewer murderers than Gilad did. So that's the Marsha just has that ha'ara. And that's why they only got one Ir Miklat. Right. No, no, but still, even according to the Tziv,
as long as they're close to an Ari Miklat, then it would have
helped. Right, but if you look at the area, still, Gilad had three Ari Miklat to choose from in a very close proximity. Shechem just had a closer proximity than every other one in Eretz Yisrael. But it was still only one Ari Miklat.
It didn't matter what the size or how many Ari Miklat there was. All you need is that.
Yeah, but if you look at the area of what we call Transjordan, and the Ari Miklat that filled the area versus the Ari Miklat, the closest of the Ari Miklat was still much closer to Gilad than it was to Shechem. Okay, but the Arach Laner is a very interesting Ha'ara based on this Marsha. Right, this Arach Laner, you have it on the Maram Kamos. So he says, take a look inside, if you can read this Arach Laner inside, it's very Kedai. So won't do it now, but if you get a chance to look at it later. So he says that if you notice the psukim that they quote, first by Gilad and then by Shechem. Let's take a look at the psukim in the Gemara. So he says, we said, "Begilad shchichei rotzchem dichsiv Gilad kiryas poalei oven akuva midam." Right? What does that mean, akuva midam? So the Gemara, it's a good kasha. The Gemara asks it, "My akuva midam." Am Rav Elazar shehayu okvin laharog nefashos. So he says, what does that mean? What does that line in the Gemara mean? Not predestined. It's a lashon of ambush, lashon of hiding out, getting ready to kill people. Right? So it sounds like in Gilad, the official style of murder was to ambush people, to hide out in the trees. How many people hide out in the trees, generally, when you have an ambush? I'm not talking about a military attack. I'm talking about if you want to ambush somebody. Really? I'd say one. So you have three, four guys we need to ambush them for. Just beat them up. What?
Did you see the old Rabin message? 1930?
No. I was not yet born. Okay. So I'm just telling you that if you want to kill somebody and you know you have a gang of people, you don't need to ambush them. Ambush is mashma, quiet, you know, a single operation, a small operation. Mashenkin, if you look in the pasuk, what do they quote for when they say Shechem, Shechiche Rotzkim Dechsiv, right? He says, what, how do you pronounce that first word? You have the nekudas there? Okechaki ish gedudim chaver kohanim derech yirtzchu shchema. Right? So he says, when they would wait for a man, what are gedudim? Like God gedud yigudana. What are gedudim? Troops. Right? A group of people. Right? So a group of people would wait for somebody, well, not wait for him, but they would, yeah, wait for him. And they would kill him like a kohen. What does that mean? So my chaver kohanim, I'm Rav Lazar, shall you mischabrin la rog nefashos ki kohanim alolashim mischabrin lachlok trumos v'beis agranos. They would have gangs that would get together and kill people. So in other words, they were gang attacks. So in Gilad, you had sneak attacks, and in Shechem, you had gang attacks. So who cares? Who cares if you had gang attacks in Shechem? What would be the difference? So there's a very important Mishnah, it's a Machlokis Tanoim in the Sechah Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Chesem et Aleph. So the Tanoim there argue, and we paskin like the Tanakama, which is the Shitas Chachamim, against, I believe it's Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, let's say 10 people kill somebody together. Each one gives him a punch, and he eventually drops dead. Right? Let's say you have some gang initiation or whatever, so they all line up and they beat this guy. Right? I think... you know, I've read about or seen on TV or whatever, like gang initiation, so this guy has to walk the gang gauntlet or whatever, you know, like they all stand on the sides, and this guy, in order to be a member of the gang, he has to walk through everybody, and everybody, as they walk, they give him their best shot, you know, and then if he survives, he's a member of the gang, and if he dies, okay, Mishkefrel, you know, we'll get the next guy. So in Shechem, they used to kill people in gang fashion. So what would be the din if the guy dies in the middle of this gauntlet? So there's a machlokis tanan. According to the Chachamim, we darshan from the pasuk, right, that you need to, it says, because you have to kill kol nefesh, right? So he says, you have to be responsible for being the one who killed him completely. If you only killed part of him and someone else killed part of him, then you're potter. Right? You're not going to be chayiv misa, you're not going to be chayiv golus, even though he did it amazing. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is no, that the last guy is chayiv because he's makariv misaso. The last guy, if he would have just left him alone, he would have just died on his own. But since you hit him one last punch, and that caused him to die, so he would have died 5 minutes later, now he died 5 minutes earlier, you're chayiv for that. Right? This is a big Mishnah they quote when they talk about palliative care. How do you deal with a goseis? How do you deal with a person who's terminally ill? Right? So you have to be very careful because both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if you're the only game in town, if you're the only person who's dealing with him and he's sick, then if you are Makarev Misaso, you are a Rotzeach. If a person was supposed to live 1 minute longer and because of you live 1 minute shorter, you are Chai for killing him. Now, because that's the difference between what we call a gosis v'dei shamayim versus a gosis v'dei odom. The Gemara makes this chilek over there. That a gosis v'dei shamayim, it's all on you. Because whatever part of him Hashem killed, that's his business. But you took away all of his life force. As opposed to a gosis v'dei odom, guys number 1 through 9 took away most of his life force. You just took away 1/10 of it. So then the chacham hold that you're potter. So assuming we pass him like the chachamim, the Aruch Laner says, so in Shechem, there were all these gang attacks, you could never pin it on any one guy. And you couldn't point to this guy and say, he's Chayiv Golis, he's Chayiv Misa. Right? So therefore, in Shechem, nobody was ever, not nobody, but even though there were a lot of Ritzichas, even though a lot of murders, people were not necessarily going to Golis for that. Mashenkin in Gilad, where there were sneak attacks, where it was an ambush, one guy takes a shot at the guy from behind the trees, so we know exactly who killed him, we know exactly, you know, who killed kol nefesh, and who's chayev either misa or chayev galus, and therefore you needed to have more ari miklat in order to house the larger amount, not just the larger amount of murderers, but the larger amount of people who were chayev for those murders. That's the idea. I don't know, I thought it was a nice chap from the Aruch Laner, bringing in, you know, whenever you could bring in a lamdish sugya into a got it to sugya, so it's always, I always find that to be helpful. Anyway, so but it's a very important gemara, that sugya in Sanhedrin is very important for doctors. Rav Moshe is important, you know, tshuvas, I mean, everybody does, but Rav Moshe's are very famous in America, so a very important tshuvas for doctors based on these types of things, and you have to be super careful not to take away even the smallest amount of a person's life when you're trying to care for them, you know, because we consider it, if a guy's a gosis b'dei shamayim, we consider it very problematic to, not very problematic, it's murder, if you shorten their life in any way. Okay, so Moshe talks about the difference between Shev Al Tasa and Kum Vase, in terms of if a person is dying, so there might be an Isser on the other end to continue their life. Right, Moshe, and obviously every single one of these issues, Tzarech She'elas Chacham, you have to really look into each case, but as a general rule, Moshe is a very important tshuva, where he discusses, let's say there's a person, he's terminally ill, and there's no way he's going to be cured according to the regular laws of medicine, and all you're doing by prolonging his life is you're continuing to give him pain. Well, he's just going to live a life of great pain, and there's nothing you can do to actually make him get any better. So Rav Moshe discusses what should you do in that case. He says you're definitely not allowed to kill him b'kum v'aseh, and not only that, but if he's on a respirator, you're not allowed to disconnect his respirator, because that's the same thing as killing him. But, what? Arrange for a blackout. Well, he talks about stuff like that in terms of if you can have, you know, certain smaller amounts of oxygen being given to him, if you can have a small, you know, nowadays it's very hard to do that in most hospitals. One of my friends was a doctor told me that because nowadays they don't use oxygen tanks anymore. They have one huge oxygen supply in the hospital and you just plug the guy into the wall. So it's not the same thing. And Rav Moshe was right in the tshuva, they had oxygen tanks. So he said, just when his tank runs out, see if he's able to survive. If he is able to survive further, then give him more oxygen, he says, because that's like torturing him. Giving a guy no oxygen, that's already like torturing him, you're not allowed to do that. But so then give him a limited supply, constantly give him limited supplies of oxygen, and when it runs out, if he dies, he dies. But if he's going to continue to live, just not able to breathe, then you have to continue to replenish it. But he's saying, let's say a case of a DNR, where the guy, there's nothing hooked up to him right now, and it's the circumstances that we described, Rav Moshe draws a raya from a very interesting place. There's a ran in the Darim, talking about whether or not you're allowed to daven for somebody to die. Because there are certain circumstances where you're supposed to daven for somebody to die. And the ran in the Darim quotes the Gemara at the end of Ksuvis. Anybody do this Gemara by the death of Rebbe? No, that's something else. That's Gemara Bava Metzia. That's the Gemara in the end of Ksuvis talks about the day that Rebbe died. Rebbe had a shivcha, and the shivcha was davening that he should live, and everybody was davening that he should live, and all the Rabbanim were in the Beis Medrash davening that he should live, and the shivcha saw how much pain Rebbe was in. From he wasn't able to wear his tefillin anymore because he had some stomach problems, and he was in tremendous pain. And she realized that she was obviously a very mystically inclined person, that she was able to know this, that she first davened that Rebbe should live, and then she realized all that they were doing, they were not curing him, they were only prolonging his life, but in the same constant state of pain that he continued to experience. Therefore, she went up to the roof and she davened. You know, first she was davening Yihiratzon Sheyachofu Atachtonim Esel Elyonim. That she said that the Elyonim want Rebbe's life and the Tachtonim want Rebbe's life. Meaning the Beis Medrash Shalmala needs another good Talmud, so they needed Rebbe. You know, and the Beis Medrash Shalmata still needs him here. So Halavai, you know, Yihiratzon that the Beis Medrash Shalmata should continue to win out. But then when she saw that he wasn't getting any better, so she took a vase or something, and she dropped it off the roof, and it made a huge crashing noise in front of the Beis Medrash. And she said, "Yehi Ratzon that the Elyonim should be kofer the Tachtonim, that the Beis Medrash Shalmala should win, and all the Rabbanan's tefillas were just keeping him alive." So she did that to distract the Rabbanan from the davening, and they stopped davening for 1 minute or 1 second to see what was going on, and that was it. Rebbe died during that second. So Rav Moshe learns halacha lemaisa from that whole story, and that and the Ran, because listen, I don't know if Rav Moshe would have done this on his own, but the Ran treats that Gemara as halacha lemaisa. So Rav Moshe also, in the footsteps of the Ran, says that that's a raya, that if someone is, you're just prolonging his life and he's not able to you know, continue on in any way of getting better, he's only just going to live in tremendous pain, that's actually an iser of causing pain to another Jew to keep him alive. So if the person has some type of a DNR, under those circumstances, you would not be required to resuscitate him, but you would not be permitted to resuscitate him. Again, every case is different. You have to, these are just like a basic idea. It's not, but it's just interesting how they take that Maisa with the death of Rebbe and they apply it to, you know, the Ran applies it in the Gemara and the Dharma about davening for somebody to die, and then Rav Moshe takes it a step further about treating, medical treatment. Anyway, getting back to us, it's all based on this Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which talks about if you kill somebody but others had a hand in it as well, then you're not going to be Chayev Misa, and you're not even going to be Chayev Golas. And thus, in Shechem, where they killed people by gang murder, there were fewer people that needed to go to Golas, whereas in Gilad, where they killed people by ambush, more people needed to go to Golas. Okay, maybe we'll hold over here for tonight.